Hey guys, I'm a Magic Taser guest. So I'm Matt. Once again, as always, Travis. You heard him. He's cold as fuck. I think you're still cold as fuck, right?
Yeah, I'm still cold as fuck. But I got a blanket.
So we got a special guest with us this week. He kind of does his own little podcasty things. I met him a couple months ago at GP Pittsburgh. Good old Zachy. How's it going, bud?
What's up, guys? Zach Town here. How's it going?
All right, man. Glad you could be on with us.
Yeah, I love it. I'm happy to be on as many podcasts as possible. It's a blast. I love, like, talking about magic, so.
I guess so.
Is he trying to take Jason's spot as being the, he's taking Jason's spot, I'm understanding.
Well, for this fact, so, I think me and Zeki have actually recorded with Jason before.
Like, this is true.
Was it his podcast we did it for?
I believe it was one of the preview episodes for Dragons of Tarkir.
Was it, I don't even know whose podcast it was on anymore. Anyway, I don't think it really matters.
It doesn't.
No. It's all kind of one thing anyway. But anyway, so we got a spoiler episode because, you know, we don't get enough of those. Go through the whole list of cards, give you our thoughts, opinions, because we all kind of do different formats and everything around here. I'm mainly more of a modern guy, casually kind of kitchen table guy. We got Travis, he's our standard guy, because that's what they do up yonder.
Well, I play modern too. Hey, I've got two buys for GB Detroit because I want a modern GPD. So.
You have a valid point. You've gotten more buys than I have, so I'll give you that, Travis. And then we got Zeki. He's our EDH-y guy, man.
Yeah, I love some EDH, and I'm also growing in terms of Legacy.
So, Legacy.
Love Legacy. I'm in New Jersey. I'm like technically I guess it would be like the Northeast, and that's like a Legacy hotbed. So
you are like the epicenter of where any Legacy things could go down. So I got the
best. Yeah, I mean, Philly is right there for Eternal Weekend, and then Eternal Extravaganza happens like an hour north of Philly over in Coopersburg, Pennsylvania, and that is like a giant Eternal Weekend of sorts. And then we had GP New Jersey here a while back, and there's at least three or four different stores in my area that are firing Legacy on different days of the week.
That's awesome for the people who want to stay into it, because unfortunately it's not really a supported format from the perspective of Star City. They still do, don't they still run Legacy as like a 5K or something on the weekends now? Or is it strictly standard and modern now?
Actually, I think this past weekend they did Legacy as a 5K, I believe, down in Charlotte, I think.
Yeah.
And I believe Charbelcher actually got like 14 displays or something, which is hilarious.
Like, that's the cutest deck, man. Like, that's something I would play.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. I'm like, if there's a cute deck that you would play, it'd probably be Charbelcher.
Because I don't want people to play Magic, and that's the deck to do it. I'm pretty sure. Alright guys, so we're going to jump right on into spoilers here. So we're going to be using the Magic website because it's the official website for Magic the Gathering. And, you know, something that's unconfirmed by Wizards would not be here. So we're going to go with this. Sound good, guys?
Sounds very legitimate to me.
Works for me.
Alright, so on their website, they've started off with their colorless creatures. And by that, I mean they are just strictly colorless, not with the void. I think I figured out their listing now. So, first up, we got the Deceiver of Form. It costs 6 and a way? I'm going to just say 6 and a colorless. Is that how they're going to be doing it now?
Let's just call it waste for now. 6 and a waste.
Yeah, until it gets like put out in another set, I think that's what we should probably do.
Like, one thing I want to mention about these before I actually get into it is people are freaking their shit. They're like, oh man, oh my god, I'm going to have to run these basic wastes. Oh my god. No, guys. Painland sat for the waste mana now. Like,
yes, they do.
They're a buff, and you can play colors off of them. So, calm yourself. So, yeah,
calm your titties.
And in this set alone, there's like 7 or 8 different sources to produce colorless. So, like, you don't have to play strictly waste to make that mana.
True.
No.
You got good old Deceiver for him. He cost 7, he cost 6, and a colorless. I'm going to say colorless because that flows so much easier. It is an Eldrazi. He's a rare. At the beginning of combat on your turn, reveal the top card of your library. If a creature card is revealed this way, you may have creatures you control other than Deceiver or Form become copies of that card until end of turn. You may put that card on the bottom of your library. So,
Ooh. This
guy could be a blowout or just completely wreck your shit. Like,
yeah, so this actually could play very, very well in a Synchrono deck.
That would
be Trample, right?
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay.
Isn't there a blue Eldrazi deck floating around Standard right now?
There's a couple of different ones that are popping up. I think they're mainly green-based. There's some green-blue and some green-black and green-red. It's just kind of whatever your flavor is, but mainly you're going for the green because you're going to be able to search your deck for the different lands you need. You're going to be able to do the rampy things. So,
gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense because I think with some of the other blue cards that are going to be out right now, there's a lot of scrying, and you could just keep that fatty on top of your deck if you're scrying away, and boom, blow out your opponent. I love it.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like almost like miracles, but not really.
No.
Like,
no.
If there was, like, there's enough scry action, but a lot of the scry is you still have to do something with your deck afterwards. So it's not necessarily going to be as guaranteed as it was, say, during, like, Theros, when you can just, like, scry land, okay, sweet shit on top, you're dead. So this guy, like, if you flip one of him up and you say are running a bunch of Eldrazi Scions or something, you have a bunch of fucking 8-8s, you're getting it in. You have a dragon, because dragons are going to still be heavily played even after rotation, and getting it in with dragons, that's good too. I mean, a lot of the playables are going to be legendary, so, but...
Speaking of getting it in, he kind of looks like a worm.
Watsy, you dirty old fool. Like, and if you look, it looks like he's a worm going down into that Hedron-y thing.
Yeah. He's coming up from the Hedron-y thing like a bush.
Bro, it looks like he was getting stuck and that was bush. Maybe that, like, arm.
That's why it's bent. That's why it's bent. Oh, no.
Speaking of
phallic-looking things, what about this Eldrazi mimic over here?
The anteater who's sure to give you a good time.
See, that's the one with all the teeth, man.
So, this card does what?
It is a casting cost of 2. It's an Eldrazi creature. It's a 2-1, rare. And whenever another colorless creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may change Eldrazi Mimic's base power and toughness to that creature's power and toughness until end of turn.
Cool.
That's cute.
Yeah?
I like him. He's got a nice mouth. The teeth are kind of gnarly, but...
He kind of works in that ramp deck very well. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. This is a really, really good card. Like, this is a solid, like, blockery kind of guy?
Block? No. No, this guy, he gives the card you cast haste.
But, like, I don't know. I see the format just getting super aggro right now, so...
And that's what this guy's for. He's the super aggro guy. You go through, you cast him on turn 2. Turn 3, you cast a guy who's got, what, 4 power?
Totally,
and then this guy
this
attacks
wrong,
it.
I totally read this shit wrong. Yeah. Holy fuck.
Yeah, he's a turn 3, 4-4 with a siege rhino.
Yeah.
That's cute. I like this guy.
Yeah, you swing to 3 life, and then you swing in for 4. That's hilarious.
Man, this guy's awesome. I'm going to play with him. Man, that's fun.
Careful.
You might want to play back.
Okay. I mean, I can't do all the work, I guess.
You can't.
So Bill Cosby didn't say.
That's what the tentacles are for.
True. So, Travis, what do we got up next, man?
Endbringer, 5 and a waste. He's a creature Eldrazi. He's a 5/5, and he's a rare. Untap Endbringer on each other player's untapped step, so he's always untapped. He happened to have a ping ability, creature or player, which is awesome. He just taps for that. And now this is where we're starting to see more of the waste mana. Waste tap, target creature can't attack or block this turn. Pretty significant, especially if you happen to have one big guy coming in your way. And then the one that really matters there, is waste tap, draw a card.
Bro, that's kind of sweet.
This guy's got a lot of application that he could do, and he's a little insane. So, and I believe he's also the promo buy box.
No, he's not the buy box.
Oh, no, he's the...
My goblin guy is the buy box, damn it.
Oh, okay. Now, this guy is the release promo.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
Sweet. You know, a lot of times these cards that they do is the buy box or the release cards. Like, I know back in the day, they used to have strictly the one release card, right? So, those cards used to be extremely playable. Whenever they switch it up to you get the random card or whatever, they kind of wrecked the whole power level aspect of it.
Actually, it was really, really weak after they decided to go away from doing mythics and going to rares.
Yeah, because they had Ajani, they had Emrakul, like, Ajani...
That's awesome.
They even had Whirlcoil Engine, and I think that was one of the last ones they did.
How about having that in everybody's deck during pre-release?
Like, literally.
Yeah, that's when they were not allowed to be played. Anyways, on to the next guy who everybody got so upset about.
The Bandman!
Woo! The Bandman. Kozilek, the Great Distortion. Neat, colorless, colorless. When you cast Kozilek, if you have fewer than 7 cards in your hand, draw equal to the difference. Which is pretty awesome. Always have a seven card hand. Menace, nice new keyword ability they've brought in there last year. And then discard a card with converted mana cost X. Counter target spell with converted mana cost X.
Bro, you're done. Like,
hilarious.
You ain't never coming back from this shit.
What?
You're never coming back from this guy. Like, he hits play, the game's done. Like, you will counter whatever, you're countering whatever you want. They have to block him with 2 dudes, which granted, if you're gonna block this guy, you're blocking him with more than 1 dude. You're not blocking a 12-12 just because.
Yeah. Now, his discard ability is very, very circumstantial. If I cast a 6 drop and you only have a 5 drop and a 7 drop, it doesn't do it. So, I don't know. That ability is kind of off. I like the other two abilities much better than the last ability. It is not Force of Will, and it is not Counterbalance.
Yeah. I mean, granted, you're not going to be able to go into a Counter War battle, because this is going to be an ability of the guy. So they're not going to be able to say, counter target spell, off your cousin like this card. So
they can stifle it.
So that might be a thing that happens in Eternal formats, but I almost think that that's not... I don't even know if this guy's really Eternal playable. I'm sure people will try it, but... Like, a free, uncounterable counter spell.
I would play him in Tron to draw back up to 7.
So, after you get up to 7, though, are you going to not worry about getting rid of your land searches? Because... I mean, you can just discard it to counter most everything in Mar.
Yeah, you really don't. Yeah, your land search is like, oh, discard this 1-cost card, this 2-cost card. Oh, that was pretty much every card in Modern. Okay. Next guy here, he's got a pretty mouse. Does he have a mouse?
I mean, it looks like a mouse. Look at that. Little Kozilek Pathfinder.
Anyways. 6 drop, 5/5, waste, target creature can't block the Pathfinder. Next, Matter Reshaper. This guy's cool. 2, waste, and he's a 3/2, but the part that matters the most is when this guy dies, reveal the top card of your library. You may put that card onto the battlefield if it's a permanent cost card with converted mana cost 3 or less. Otherwise, put that card into your hand.
Shit is good.
Yeah, I
know, that's insane. Like, it replaces itself and sort of,
it replaces itself no matter what.
Yeah.
The only way that it doesn't is if you have Rest in Peace in play.
But, I mean, that's Eternal. I don't think this guy will see Eternal play.
Dude, he will see tons of Modern play.
I don't know, man. You're putting that colorless on him, and you got to think about modern mana bases. You're not going to be able to fetch for a waste mana, and or the colorless mana. I mean, very few decks play Paylands. There's not very
okay.
Tron, I guess, right?
Tron.
In that, okay. I'll show
Eldrazi. Any collected company deck.
Oh, shit, Coco! What? What?
Yeah. What? And in terms of Legacy... Death and Taxes would love this card.
Yeah.
Bro.
As well as half the meta, because half the meta is playing Wasteland anyways. So, like you, when you play Wasteland, it makes colorless mana, guys. It doesn't just destroy other lands. So, it's like,
I mean, it's
hilarious.
So, it has a second ability on it? What?
I swear it does other things.
Man, that's nuts, man. Like, what I love about going over spoilers is whenever you first look at cards, because I haven't seen most of these. I mean, I've seen a good few, but not all. And whenever you look at things, you're like, oh, that's all right. Wait a minute. Whoa.
Yeah.
What? Like.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Totally. Like that guy. So, yeah. If this
the reality is master.
Fixing fuckers up.
I think it's pre-selling for $3 on Star City, so.
What? I still have to pick up my Gargoyle.
I think it's only $3. I was looking at some of them earlier today, just to, like, get an idea, because I was looking at some other cards, but that one, I think, popped up for, like, $3.
Honestly, I think that that's the card out of the set to be interested in, at least one of the main ones. So, yeah, that's a card that I'm going to have to pick up a playset of those as soon as possible before they go up. Anyways, Reality Smasher, 4 and a waste, Trample Haste. It's a 5/5, 4/5, so it passes that vanilla test, although it's a rare, so it should pass the vanilla test. And then whenever it comes to target of a spell or ability in opponent control, counter that spell unless the controller discards a card.
This shit is nuts. Like,
I love it.
Like, fucking, dude, you're getting rid of 2 cards. Like, there's
it's
no
for one.
Feeling than, like, 2 for 1 in your opponent without them having
2 for 1 Trample Haste? Love it.
Yeah. 2 for 1 Trample Haste.
Still love it.
Like, Ball Lightning's off way, right? Like, and that was a 6/1, and then you had to get rid of it. Dude, this is fucking nuts. Like, this dude is standard playable. I might even... No, I'm not going to touch him. But, bro, I love this fucking card. It's sweet.
I love the flavor text on it. As easy to stop as it is to comprehend.
Like, target way... Oh, God! I guess I gotta kill it? Like...
Yeah, you have to kill it. There's no doubt about it. You have to kill it. You have to give up 2 cards for this.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. So, so now we get into a non-creature spell, which is kind of cool.
The best card ever.
Aethel Contortion. And this elf has really, really long arms. Like,
no. He's being contorted, dude. Obviously.
I don't care. His arms are like, he's got extra joints.
Bro. He's a contortionist.
Yeah, that's scary.
Probably not his option, but he's a contortionist. I mean, the lips on his face are not his option.
No, that's euphoric.
Oh, so he's like getting there?
Yeah, he's there.
So this guy is basically a reprint of a card that saw play back in the days of Lorwyn, which was, somebody help me here.
Nameless Inversion?
Nameless Inversion. Only Nameless Inversion had the same target creature gets +3/-3 until end of turn, but it also lost all creature types, which was relevant because that was a creature type matter set. So this card is just a solid removal spell, especially if the format's going to have things around such as the fucking Hangerback Walker and, you know, a bunch of guys that aren't going to be that big initially.
This is an anti-aggro bonus card.
Yeah. Like, there's almost no downside against aggro with this card.
No. And if you're looking for that last point of damage, there's 3 of them.
Yeah, especially if you're in a control deck. Like, you play this on your dragon, GG's.
Thought not.
Ah, you funny man.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Thought Not Seer. He's got this one.
I'll take it. It's a three and a colorless. It's an Eldrazi creature. It is also a rare. And when Thought Not Seer enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-land card from it and exile that card. And when it leaves the battlefield, target opponent draws a card.
So, Restoration Angel, anybody?
I don't know if I want my opponent drawing all those cards.
But you get after they draw the card, you get to pick.
I do get to just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
But like that almost gets into the thing of being too cute, right?
It's borderline too cute.
I mean, there's a card that'll pair in fine with this card that we'll get to in a little bit though. So
yeah, that's true. So this card looks like an insect.
Sorta.
Kinda.
Like it's got an eyeball. Like I guess.
I'm talking about the next card.
Anyway, the Walker of the Waste. That's a four and a colorless. This is an Eldrazi. He's an uncommon. He has trample, and whenever Walker of the Waste gets +1/+1 for each land you control named Waste, and he's
a nightmare.
You know, he is basically nightmare.
He's a nightmare.
But he can be better than nightmare if you're running just a straight colorless deck, which that might end up being a thing.
But how's that better than if you're running a straight black deck?
So
is nightmare at trample?
Nightmare is flying. So So this is card. He is a 4/4. If you have three wastes in play and you're at 5 land, this guy is a 7/7 for 5. This card is better than nightmare. Sort of. But he's kind of limited, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you could argue that Nightmare is, like, good in certain circumstances, too, so.
Like a mono-black deck?
Yeah, so a mono-waste deck, I think this is strictly better.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have Nightmare in a mono-waste deck, so yeah.
So in mono-waste, on turn 5, he's a 9/9 with trample. That's pretty fucking beastly.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, you can probably get him out even earlier if you're using the Eldrazi tokens.
But he's not as big.
Yeah, but he's not a fucking 9/9.
Come on. I mean, turn 3, he's still a 7/7.
Anyway, this guy's pretty cool. He might be in, like the new guy deck that you see around your FNM. Probably not so standard playable or eternal playable or...
Yeah. Now, if we're talking about too cute, this is too cute.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Too cute in an Eldrazi EDH deck.
So, like, that's what some people were excited about. Like, they could use these legendary Eldrazi as their generals and shit or commanders and just run straight waste. Like,
yep.
This would be a thing with the people. I mean, I don't know how good that'll be. I'm not all about the colorless things in EDH, nor am I about my opponent playing cards. So... You know, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. So, we got Warden of the Geometry. He is a 4 cost. Just 4. He's an Eldrazi drone. He's a common. He's got vigilance. This guy, you can tap to add a colorless to your mana pool, and he's a 2/3. This is strictly draft fodder, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, this next one looks like a Pokemon.
It does look like a Pokemon.
This is epic! I want one!
This card, use an Ultra Ball, the Warping Whale, for one and a colorless, it's an instant. I really
like an Eldrazi charm.
It's Eldrazi charm. You can choose one. Exile target creature with power or toughness 1 or less, counter target sorcery spell, or put a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion token onto the battlefield. It has sack this creature, add a mana. Colorless mana.
Yeah. So, this has the ability to kill almost every creature in Modern.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, this is good. Like, this is good against Delver strategies. Like, this is good against
Twin.
Like, this is just good.
It's good against Deathrite Shaman.
Good against, like, every...
Snapcaster Mage.
You can't target it, though. Never mind.
No.
that'd be too good.
Stoneforge Mystic.
Yep.
Stoneforge Mystic. Like, Dahlia. Man, that would suck to pay this for a couple. Like, but then again, doesn't it just suck to kill us all because you have to spend your resources anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how many more resources are you going to spend if you don't kill her?
Calm down. Yeah, I mean, being able to make an extra token to be able to ramp to your turn 4, like, that's just good.
Yeah.
Like, hope they play a sorcery? Like, that's cute.
Well, if you were to go through and deal with this in Legacy, it's really good for the two first abilities because you could end up going through and facing against, say, Miracles. And that's all sorcery speed.
Yeah, that is very true.
And
this is a pretty decent card, guys.
It's a decent card. It's one to keep an eye on, and hopefully it doesn't go the way of Inquisition that goes like.
Or hopefully it does, and I've picked them up for $8.
Like,
yeah.
And Matt, they were still like $9 at GP Pittsburgh. And I almost bought 3 more, but I was like, no, I should not do this.
You should, but, oh man, fuck people in there buying everything out, man. Y'all just wrecked the game for everybody. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for adding value to my cards, jackasses.
That's true.
When they do that shit.
Who would have ever thought that Thoughtseize is the cheap alternative?
Right? I was looking at that, I'm like, Thoughtseize is $14 right now. What is wrong with Magic?
Bro, this uncommon does less is totally way more expensive, right?
Yeah. Okay, now we're onto the white cards. And the first white card is not actually a white card.
What do you mean?
Dude, Eldrazi Displacer? This card is a fucking tits, bro. Like, this is my fucking gem. I want to do everything with this guy. Like,
You're gonna take it out to dinner and then, bro, you know.
Dinner? I'm taking the titty bar after? Bro. Like, bro, come on. What do you. Guys, this card's like a $5 card right now. If y'all if y'all remember what happened to this guy, Restoration Angel, granted this guy doesn't have the whole flashy thing or whatever, but you get to blink every single fucking turn. Every turn.
Mist Widow.
What's that?
Miss Meadow, actually, I think.
You're going to have to explain, bro.
Hold on. Miss Meadow Witch.
Oh, Miss Meadow Witch? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a worse card, right?
Huh?
Miss Meadow Witch?
Yeah. What about it?
That's the worst card in this guy.
Depends.
I mean, we're going to go with it's worse than this guy, because...
Miss Meadow Witch is a 2-cost. Miss Meadow Witch has a 4-cost activation, however... It doesn't have the requirement there of the waste mana.
So I don't think right now in standard the waste mana is going to be an issue because there's enough colorless sources that see play.
I just don't think it's worthy of the $5 mana.
This card's going to go, like, this card's a hit, bro. Okay, guys, we're going to read this card because y'all are confused right now, I'm sure. Unless you actually pay attention to Magic. So, Eldrazi Displacer costs 2 and a white. He is an Eldrazi with the void, so he has no color, even though he's white, but semantics. So, he has an ability of 2 and a color. You exile another target creature, then return it to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control. Granted, it's not just a full-out blink to where you'd be able to have extra blockers, but there's so many creatures and so many good things that have activated abilities and enter the battlefield triggers. Like, this card could see modern play.
I doubt it.
Bro, there's that Anacinda deck, or that Collected Company deck, like that Rock Company Kitchen Finksy thing.
Yeah, that deck's based on infinite combos.
Yeah,
this
why not give
cannot
them
go infinite.
You can't go infinite, you are right, absolutely. But why not have your Eternal Witness be able to blink every turn? I mean, you run removal, you run Cocos, why not be able to play Coco more? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's fine.
This shit is good. Like, I don't know, he probably won't see modern play, but this guy's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna shut up.
The biggest thing that I see about this is it's Maze of It.
What do you mean?
Exile the creature, put it back into play. If it was an attacking creature, it's no longer attacking.
That is, yeah.
It's Maze of It.
With legs.
With legs.
It's like 7 of them.
It's Maze of Arachnia.
3, 4, 5. That's only 6, bro. Calm down.
I thought that extra arm in the top corner was okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. I don't know. It's got legs and arms, and there's way too many of them. Next card is very much a draft chase. Appa Protector, Vigilance 1/4 for 3. Nothing special.
Yep. Next we have Allied Reinforcements, 3 and a white, sorcery speed, spell, put 2/2 White Knight ally creature tokens onto the battlefield.
Sounds good to me.
I think it'll be limited.
I would be happy to drop this card.
Yeah, in limited, I think there's going to be some cohort mechanic card deck kind of thing going around.
Yeah, I was looking at that mechanic, and I'm pretty sure that mechanic is never going to see standard play.
No, but it'll be good for draft and limited, so.
Yeah.
I think it's limited enough in what you're going to get out of a couple packs that it could work as a strategy, I guess. I don't know if it's the strongest strategy, but
it may be out of necessity more than anything, because I see those cohort mechanics as, like,
super synergy.
We're going to go through and we're going to take Outlast, and then we're going to make it more expensive.
Yeah.
Because Outlast, you couldn't use that one card. Now, cohort, you can't use two cards. I don't know. Next card here.
We don't know.
Yeah, I was like, it's uncommon, though, so I don't know. It's probably made for limited that way.
Yeah. Okay, next card here we've got is one that had a lot of people excited. It's Call the Gatewatch. 2 and a white, sorcery. Search your library for a planeswalker card, reveal it, put it in your hand, shuffle your library. So, tutor me some walkers.
So love it in EDH.
Like, not just EDH, though. Like, people are trying to brew with this thing in Modern and break strong.
Yeah, this is not... I don't see that working.
Dude.
I don't either.
Dude. So you realize people are trying to break Tron with another Oath, right?
Yeah, that Oath is much... The Oath is actually much more viable.
But why not search some more stuff up if you're playing cutesy games?
But you're not going through and trying to be cute with it. Literally, the only thing that I would be playing that for is because it's an alternative to Ancient Stirring.
Yeah. I don't know, man. People are trying to be cute, man. I'm just trying to be cute over here, guys. Come on,
not everything is cute.
Bro!
The only way I see this being played eternally would be in Miracles, and they don't want to play this card.
No.
Alright, guys, I lost. Whatever.
I mean, I think, because in Miracles, they're doing too much with, like, Brainstorm and stuff like that. So, like, they would rather just draw it naturally than
cycle through their deck enough as it is.
Yeah, there's not really a need, especially once you get top out there.
Yeah, once top, so... It's like, okay, I got a fetch land. I can pretty much vary the top of my deck as much as I want. So, yeah. I don't see that in Miracles.
So next up, we got a Dazzling Reflection. This
is a lion with antlers.
Bro, Narnia. Bro, copyright infringement. What? Watch me get on it, bro.
Wait, did the lion in Narnia have antlers?
No, it didn't, bro.
No.
I'm just trying to bust the box. I'm not trying. So this guy here is 1 and a white, and he's an instant to come, and you gain life equal to target creature's power. The next time that creature would deal damage this turn, prevent that damage. So this is a foggy card, right? Like, if you're going against a control deck.
I attack with those legs. I cast Dazzling Reflection. I gain 12 life and protect 12 life. That's a 24-point swing.
Yeah, but like, that card sucks. Anyway. Cost 3 and 2 white. It's a bird, because, you know, we gotta have birds in Magic. And it has flying. And when Expedition Raptor enters the battlefield, support 2, the new mechanic.
I like this mechanic.
Yeah, man, like, it's okay. But you put a 1/1 counter on creatures of the 2 target creatures. 2 other target creatures, and it's a 2/2. So, like, cool, you're putting 2 counters on some guys, so that's like, you're getting 4 power with flying out of a card for 5, so I guess that's vanilla, right?
No.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, because if you think about it, a 1/1 flyer back in the day used to cost 2 mana. Suntail Rock was, like, the break of the rule, But basically, you add that ability on, and that costs one more. So I mean,
flying costs one mana.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So that's, I mean, it's alright. So guys, anything else on this?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Alright, Zeki, this seems like your kind of guy next up.
This General Tazi is my kind of guy.
Or guy.
I can't really tell.
Okay. I don't know.
Are we going to play another of that Mardu clan leader thing again? And nobody.
I really can't tell, and I can't remember from the storyline whether Tazri is a guy or a gal.
Who cares?
So, it's a person. And that's what's important to your people. It's a human. It's a human ally for four and white. And yeah. This card is awesome. It's a legendary, so it can be your commander. But here's the kicker. Let me read the rest of the card text. It's a 3/4, and when General Tazri enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an ally creature card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. That's pretty cool. So you're playing mono-white allies, right? Wrong. Then it has Wooburg ability. Allied creatures you control get +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of colors among those creatures. That's awesome. So now you have a 5-color ally general. Like, this is going to spawn so many degenerate decks in EDH. I have a chub thinking about it. Like, this is hilarious.
I had a chub whenever we started talking, so... I mean, does that make a difference? Like, does this make this card any better if I already have chub?
Wait, why are you drinking chubby?
Never mind that. So, like, this card is really cool, though. Like,
yeah, it's really, really cool.
It literally lets you play whatever.
Is there a flicker
and then
effect?
Like a, what?
Is there a flicker effect for allies?
What? So, are you asking if there's a flicker effect?
For allies?
In 5-color?
Bro. There's like
in 5-color?
Yeah.
Not an ally base, but like you literally have every blink spell ever.
Yeah, I know. Just specifically looking for allies. I want to search up my ally flicker card.
I see what you're trying to do. How about you just play Flicker Wisp and stop trying to be cute with it? Like,
no, well, since you can play with all 5 colors, what you do is you make a whole flicker package, and that's something I do whenever I build EDH decks. I kind of like of my creatures and my spells in different packages for what I want to do. Because it's like a 100-card singleton, but what you can do is you can make it 100-card, 10-card draw spells, 10 cards of removal, 10 cards of flicker, and then you make it that much more consistent.
Like, it's
you're going to have
a constructed deck at that point.
Yeah.
So, cards smooth as shit, this is definitely going to see EDH play. I don't think it's anything beyond that.
The foil is going to be really expensive, I have a feeling.
Well, because 5-color is a thing, and that's what people like to do with cutesy things.
Yeah, they like to do cutesy things, and especially with allies, where every ally triggers off of every ally ever. So as soon as you start blinking them, you get to make mana, you get to draw cards, you get to make tokens, you get to...
So what he's saying is if you sit across from him and he flips that over as his commander, go to a different area. Like, you don't...
Yeah. It's going to be degenerate, and it'll probably happen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I want to see the group hug version of allies. You're my ally, you're my ally, you're my ally.
You're my bitch.
And it's white. Base white, so, like, give it all the sweepers, too, and then just, like, start blinking your creatures back, and you just start all over. Hilarious.
Yeah, it's cute, man. Moving on, I guess.
Speaking of destroying a card,
I love this shit, man.
What is it?
So, Immolating Glare?
Yeah.
Dude, this is, like, a really good card, guys. Like, it's unconditional as fuck, sort of. So,
sort of. This is the giant piece of information here. The one restriction.
So, we have a colorless and a white instant, they're uncommon. To destroy target attacking creature. That's it, just attacking. Because people are going to attack you, and you're going to fuck their shit up. You don't care if it's Kozilek. You don't care if it's a chemical agent.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck, right? Like, you just fuck shit up.
Yeah, Kozilek and Ulamog, they're the only ones you can do that to. But Ulamog, you can't do that to. So it's Kozilek.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ulamog, right? Like, the new one, right? You can kill him.
Is indestructible.
What? Fuck! fucking horseshit, Watsy. Come on. What is your fuck up, Cuddly, because people are going to play him. Fuck up, you know what? Fuck up whatever's attacking. How about that, guys?
Sounds good.
Fuck up that deceiver of form that they're going to try to attack with.
Try? It's so weird. All right, guys. Then we got some garbage coming up. Zachy, you handle this, man.
Oh, thanks. We got Iona's Blessing for 3W. We have Enchant Creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2, has vigilance, and can block an additional creature. Woo! Woo!
Yeah.
No. Isolation Zone. This might be a bit better of a card. 2W enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, exile target creature or enchantment an opponent controls until Isolation Zone leaves the battlefield. It's a worse Oblivion Zone?
Yeah. Oblivion Ring?
Yeah, it's a worse Oblivion Ring.
But, I mean, it's nice to have O-Ring type of effect.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Actually, this goes good in the Living Enchantment deck.
Is that a thing anymore?
No, it's not a thing anymore, okay. But it could be a thing.
Like the Starfield of Nyx or whatever it is? Because that's standard legal.
Yeah, that goes good in the Starfield of Nyx deck. Real good, actually. Because now you've got a 4-drop in the Starfield of Nyx deck.
I don't know.
Yeah, I could go through and try and run that at some point. So, next card is also a draft card. And
I really
Core Scythe Master.
Core and allies? What? EDH?
Yeah, Core Scythe Master for 2W. It is a core soldier ally at common. That's a 3-1. And it has first strike as long as it's attacking.
Which
you better be toughness you're probably just gonna be attacking with.
Yeah. Next charge, Core Sky Climber.
Yeah, you're right. You
read
that right. Good job,
Charlie. I thought it had something to do with the other one. I was like, no, okay. This is also a 2W. Now, this one is a little bit tougher, the 3-2, and it is also a core soldier ally, but it has this awesome ability where it can have flying. It better have flying if you're attacking with it.
Not necessarily. I mean, if the ground's clear, just play more dudes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's good as shit. Zachy, you know, I'll let you get this next one, man.
Yeah! Awesome. Limbala the Preserver. For our 4W, we have a legendary creature, Angel. It's a mythic for the set. It's a 5/5 flying angel for 6. So, like you guys were talking about before, you pay 1 extra to give it flying. But that's not all. Whenever it enters the battlefield, if an opponent has more life than you, you get to gain 5. So, you know, kind of fun in EDH, especially when you're doing blinking. I know a lot of stuff for Rune, particularly as a general, is like based around blinking, and that's hilarious. Because you don't have to, like, in EDH, you're playing like a 3 or 4 player game, and so you might have a lower life than somebody else, but there might be 2 other opponents that have higher lives. So you can just keep doing that and keep blinking it and gaining life until you have the most life on the whole 4-player game. And then also, when it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more creatures than you, you get a 3/3 white angel creature token with flying onto the battlefield. You are getting this card. Blink it.
So, I don't know if I feel this way or not, but can you do a Pillow Fort deck in EDH?
Yes.
Because this kind of seems like a Pillar Fort kind of card.
Like, I think it makes a deck into a Pillar Fort deck.
Like, I think this is a great utility card for a Blink deck. And, like, that's the beauty about Blink decks is every creature that you're using is basically a utility piece for what you want to do depending on what's happening in the game. That's the point. Really, like, that's the point of that kind of deck. Like, you blink a creature out that you need to get X effect. This effect, you gain 5 life if someone has higher life than you, and if someone else on the board has more creatures than you do. So that guy that's, like, spamming out elves, yeah, those 1/1 elves just really suck against a 3/3 angel.
Yeah, fuck that, man.
And then you put something like Eldrazi Monument, I believe.
Oh, man, that's just confused.
Yeah. Yeah, hilarious.
Okay,
so I'm going to make a stand here, guys, and stop you from talking about that card.
Oh, man, try
this guy tonight.
Okay, so 2W instant. Creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. I think I'm missing something there. They also are indestructible.
Yeah, you missed that. I mean, it doesn't matter, but...
You may or may not have glanced over for that.
That part, this is indestructible, is a little insane. I will happily go through and pay 3 mana to not be board wiped.
But there's not really... That's not really... Is it standard playable? People might run it as...
Sideboard card. I would run that in the sideboard.
Yeah.
Depending on how everything shakes down, this could become a card for, a hyper aggro white-red or white-black deck.
Borosy kind of thing.
Secure the Waste. It could be really good in the Secure the Waste deck. So
next up we got McKindy Aerobot. Yes, McKindy. It is 1W, and it's a core scout ally. He has flying, and he's a 1/3. You don't want to play this card.
Not really.
No.
Yeah. And next up we got Mighty Leaf. This is like the 80th reprint. It's a 1/1. It's an instant. Target creature gets +2/+2 and gains flying until end turn. So
I like how all the arts are just different angles of someone jumping.
It is a mighty leap.
Literally core sky climber at a different angle. It's literally the same card.
My gosh.
We got Munda's Vanguard. It's 4W. It's a core knight ally. It has cohort, which is a new mechanic that we haven't talked about yet.
Not at all.
It's got tap. And untap an untapped ally you control, put a 1/1 counter on each other creature you control. So, guys,
you kind of said that wrong, but you kind of.
Yeah, no, right. It says tap, and untapped ally.
tap,
and untapped ally.
Bro, so you gotta tap two dudes to give your dudes 1/1 counter.
Yeah.
On each.
To be fair, this is actually a large card. This goes through and gives every creature, not just one. So this is one that I can see tapping. No, I can't see ever playing this card. It's a 5-drop for 3/3.
You guys are missing the really big point here. These cards are going to go really well in an ally EDH deck where you can blink it out and then it comes. Your untapped ally comes back in.
We don't need resources, guys. We do what the fuck we want.
Granted, you lose all the 1/1 counters, but...
Hey, guys, I'd have this guy to get counters, and I'm going to take them off. You know what, in response, guys? Blink a dude. What? Hey, guys, I don't give a fuck. I got these blink cards on flame.
This is Gurgle.deck, and I'm doing it.
And you're going to sit there and fucking like it. Now wait till I get my ally tokens from my friends.
Hold on, those are being blinked.
Yeah, hold on, yeah, they got to blink these too. Hold on.
Nah, because there was a
creature. Hold on, guy.
There was the elf ally from the last Zendikar set that makes 2/2 wolves every time an ally comes into play.
Yeah.
Hilarious to give all these 1/1 counters for those tokens.
Yep, that'll work.
EDH, it's such a dream, isn't it? Whatever you want to do, just play it, whatever. It's EDH.
You can dream it, you can do it.
Right, only a tenth of the time, but still, you can do it.
So, speaking of allies, we've got another ally card here coming up. Oath of Gideon, 2W. Legendary enchantment. We haven't seen many of those.
That's an enchantment, Travis. Calm down.
Hold on. This is why it's an ally card. When Oath of Gideon enters the battlefield, put 2/1/1 ally creature tokens onto the battlefield. That's going to go amazing in your ally deck.
That goes really well with the last Gideon they printed, too.
True.
Why?
And you can put two core
Why is that?
Because allies, right?
Plus,
yeah.
There's a little extra bonus here.
No, no, I was asking a question. Like, does he get me because of allies? Like, is that what that guy does?
I guess. But, yeah, because in the zero ability, making a
XX.
Yeah, and then the 1/1 counters, I guess, would stay on him, even though he's a planeswalker.
Wait, what?
No, so you would get, if you do your, no, because he doesn't, goddamn, you're going to make me look up Gideon, son of a bitch. fucking Gideon. What's this guy's name? Gideon what?
I'm just looking up all of them.
Ally of Zendikar, right?
That would make the most sense.
Okay, so
your ability. Yep, I see.
Just makes the token. His other ability,
plus one though, makes him an ally creature.
A 5/5 human soldier ally.
Okay, yeah, he's better than I was thinking. He was that crap one where he was like, he was an XX for extra
champion of justice.
Yeah, fucking horrible.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Old, really shitty Gideon. Don't worry about it. Nobody remembers.
This other part here that we haven't mentioned yet, each planeswalker you control enters the battlefield with an additional loyalty counter on it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
kind of cute. It's not, you know, I put it into play and I alt it right away kind of cute. It
goes well with the Call of the Gatewatch Super Friends EDH deck. Where you have doubling season out too, and then hilarious.
Why do you need doubling season? No. Why do you need this when you have doubling season?
If you run green, you have doubling season. It doesn't matter what you do. It's EDH. There's like some staples. Like if you run this color, you have these 10x cards. Like doubling season is a green thing.
Don't you mean if you play EDH, you have these 10x cards?
Anyway.
Hey, Soul Rig. Hey, Temple of the False God. Hey.
Command Tower.
Command Tower is the duel that you always wanted.
Yeah.
Or the tri-land that you always wanted.
Yeah. It's that card that you've been begging Wizards to print in every set.
Wait, untapped source for Woober? Fuck yeah! So next up we got Undo War Cleric, cost 1 and white. He's a human cleric ally, fucking cohort. This ability is terrible, dude.
It is.
So tap an untapped ally. Yes, I'm saying it quick as shit now.
Tap
ally. You control. You gain 2 life. That's it. Just 2 life. Fuck this card, right?
I would much prefer to block with this guy than gain 2 life.
Nope, you gotta tap him, and then tap another guy. Your combat is all fucked. Hey guys, a block! Oh, my god, everybody! What? Oh, it's okay. It's terrible combat here, guys. Don't do it.
Well,
you can block with another guy and then tap him and tap the guy you blocked with and gain 2 life.
Right? Double block, you kill a guy and your guys? What? Yeah. So, really? Captain, cost 2 life. He's a core knight ally. He rides a big freaking bat-looking elephant thing, dude.
That thing is pretty badass.
Why do they give such badass art to these shitty fucking cards?
Hold on. This isn't a bad fucking card.
This is like a math card.
Power for 4 mana.
Dude.
Anyone enters the battlefield, so just blink it out.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
On this podcast, you learned blinking is good.
Zeki likes to blink. I blink uncontrollably every day. So do you. Oh,
I mean, how many times a day does this guy blink?
Zeki blinks more than the average man.
Anyway. Only on the weekend. I get two tires in a week.
He's a 3/2. When he enters the battlefield, support's free. Put 3 plus one counters on up to... Put 1 plus one counter on up to 3 other creatures.
See, that's terrible, dude. Like,
Put a plus one counter on each of up to 3 other target creatures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Max, so you cannot put them all on one, and you cannot put more than one.
So, like, are you just going to play a support deck where you play like a 1-drop, 2-drop, and 3-drop, and then like the 3-drops and up all have support.
Yeah, that works.
That's bad. You guys, you know what? You guys play your, what is that, paper standard or some shit? Like,
that's not me.
Yeah.
Well, dude, this card's an uncommon. You can't do that.
Speaking of a common that's better playable than that shit card, we got Searing Light. It costs 1, and it's an instant, so it's common. Destroy target attacking or blocking creature with power 2 or less. That's good against a little aggro deck. Like, this is a good little.
You know, that could go through and see some modern play.
It is a possibility.
If you want to go budget on your path to exile?
No. I mean, most of the stuff, like, you might want to play this against a red aggro deck, because that's not going to matter. But, like, even then, a lot of their stuff's 3 power anyway, so. Like, you're just getting your shit countered from a pump or something.
Yeah.
It's a card.
I like the next card.
What is that?
Shoulder to shoulder. It's,
Not head and shoulders.
Not head and shoulders. Shoulder to shoulder. There's no head involved.
Damn it, I hate when there's no head involved.
It's a 2 and a white sorcery draw card. Wait, white has draw card?
Just wait. It gets even crazier later in the other colors.
Anyways, support 2. Put a +1/+1 counter on up to 2 target creatures. That wording feels really, really weird. I'm not even reading it right because I don't like it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Support 2 and draw card. White's not supposed to have draw a card.
I mean, this doesn't matter, bro. Like, you'll soon learn. Colorfy, it's just like a big clusterfuck now.
So, now, here is a card that Matt will really not like. Spawn Binder Mage.
Go for it next. Okay.
I'm so pissed that they have such great art on such bad cards.
The whole time! Garbage!
Like, Dan Scott, I apologize, because that art is beautiful. But you didn't pick last in the draft. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tap 2 cards to tap target creature. No, thank you.
Yeah.
We're just going to pass over that. Steep Glider. It costs 4 and a white. It's an elemental, although it looks like a bird. Sliver Bird.
Slitterbird!
It's a 2/4 flying vigilant. Okay, draft capable there for sure. And then it's got some weird ability here.
So it's got a colorless and a white dark creature with a +1/+1 counter on it. It gains flying and vigilant still in the turn. So, like, it goes in your support draft deck.
So it's a support for a support deck.
Yeah.
It's support for support. Yeah, that card's really restrictive. I would play it just for the body, but yeah, I'd have to have other cards in order to play that card.
Yeah, most definitely. So, next up we have Stonehaven Outfitter. This guy is what had everybody flipping their shit. So, it has a 1 and a white. It's a core artificer ally. Equip creatures get +1/+1. Whenever an equipped creature you control dies, draw a card. The 2/2, everybody was like, oh no, guys, oh no, we're going to get another core guy for equipment. Oh no, we're going to get Stoneforge Mystic. Shut up. No, we're not. Guys, that card is banned in formats. You're not getting that reprint.
Yeah. So, equipped creatures get +1/+1. Not bad. Haven't seen much for anything in regards to equipment in a while. But the part that I like about this is, whenever an equipped creature you control dies, draw a card. That's awesome. Just stack outlet, draw cards.
Why the Skull Clamp?
Yeah. That's an alternative to Skull Clamp.
But it doesn't really do anything for Skull Clamp because it gives the Skull Clamp creature +1 defense.
But it is Skull Clamp.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Okay.
Who cares about the +1 on the defense? You just have to have a sacrifice.
A lot of people do, because that's where you just, you cycle through all your 1-1 tokens to draw cards.
Yeah, but if you have a sac effect, then you got your 1-1 token anyway.
That's why I like the Spell Clamp, because it has its own sac engine.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just banned, okay?
Yeah.
And everything.
them.
Not an EDH, friends. Not an EDH.
I mean, EDH, I even play freaking, like, in my fun games, I play GIF. And
so,
I mean, you can do whatever you want at the kitchen table, bro. Like,
cool. Mm-hmm. So, they didn't actually include Stoneforge in this set.
The Stoneforge Acolyte. He cost one. Yeah, you didn't get Stoneforge Mythic because it just broke. Okay? Get over
here. It would have been hilarious if they would have, like, done, like, a preview for this card and only shown, like, the Stoneforge part of it, like, half the art.
And then, like, the one
people would have lost their minds.
Like, the one with the tap sign right there randomly. Like,
yeah.
They didn't even have to show half the art. They could have shown the whole art and just said Stoneforge.
Yeah, like.
And then the power and toughness.
And then core artificer, and then just leave out ally, and make sure you leave the uncommon sign for people to really flip their shit. Like, oh, fuck. Just kidding.
I wish Watsi would actually do that kind of thing, just to, like, fuck with the secondary market that they're technically not allowed to acknowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this actually is one that I'd play. Tap.
Yeah.
And look at the top four cards of your library. You may reveal an equipment card from among them, put it into your hand, put the rest on the bottom of the library in any order. If there was real equipment in this set, I would.
If they would print real equipment in the past four sets.
Yeah.
If
you're not getting real equipment. Swords are going to be a while.
Like, yeah.
If they do the ally swords, so, yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
So we get Wall of Resurgence up next. Two in white. The Defender, the Wall, the Uncommon, the 0/6, that's fatty because it's a wall, and they make good walls every now and then, so this guy might be playable. He has, when Wall of Resurgence enters the battlefield, they put 3/1/1 counters on target land you control. If you do, it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste that's still land. Bro, this is good. Like, this is really, so what? You're saying
for 3 mana, I can awaken a land and get a 0/6?
Yeah, bro, you get a 0/6 and a 3/3, bro.
That's really good.
What? Yeah,
That card is... hello? I need to play that card.
But, I mean, it's still sweet. Like, it's really powerful.
Yeah, that is actually really powerful. You get a total of 9 toughness on the battlefield for 3 mana.
Yeah, so you can block your Kozilek and still fucking die.
Actually, that really does block Kozilek, and you don't die, your creatures die.
Yeah. So you don't die for a turn, right?
No, you don't die. Not you don't even take damage. But now I guess we're on the...
Turn 1, Shambling Man. Turn 2, Turn 3, this. You get a 5-6 lifelink land.
Bro. Like, I don't think you know, but bro.
Okay, let's go on to colorless blue.
So we have a truce as abstrus. Abstrus?
Abstrus?
Abstrus? Hold on, guys. We got a guy.
Absence? Absence in your script.
Absence? What? Absence there, bro? That sounds bad.
Well,
two in a blue.
Have you ever had that much absence?
Yeah. It is with everything, dude. So, it's got the void. It's a 2 in a blue. It's an instant. Counter target spell unless its controller pays 1. You put a 1/1 ion into play with static mix colorless.
Now, those are independent of each other. You always get the 1/1.
Always, bro, always. Yep. But you have to have a target for the spell, guys. You can't get cutesy.
No. So, I'd run it in my draft, no problem.
Yeah.
That'd be a really bad cutesy spell.
Yeah, bro. It'd be like, I counter your counter. Oh, yeah, I get a 1/1, bitch. Wait, no, you don't. You just
don't. No. Well... Yeah,
you
do.
If you feel good about that gotcha, like, yeah, I can't, no, I can tap out, and I'm going to take a spoken guy. I can suck him, don't fuck with me.
Now we've got a pair of drones coming up here. Blinding drone, 1 and a blue, the void, waste tap, tap target creature.
that's much better than the previous tap turning creature card we had.
Tap, tap, tap the creature.
it's a 1/3, and it is a shit ton better than the last one.
And it's a common.
And it's a common. So there will be a lot of them out there.
Early guys, be aware.
Yeah. If they have colorless mana open, and yeah, this guy's going to tap something down. And then the Cultivator Drone, 2 and a blue, tap, add colorless mana, only spend this mana to cast colorless spells, or activate abilities of colorless permanents. Awesome. So that means that you get to go through and use that mana on Blinding Drone. I see what they did there.
Yeah, drones were the same color. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the 2/3.
Yeah, I can get these next ones, man.
Speaking of some Eldrazi, we got Deep Fathom Skulker. For 5 and blue, we have an Eldrazi creature with Devoid. And whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. That's pretty cool. And
curiosity.
Yeah. And for 3 and a colorless, target creature can't be blocked this turn. So you can just have this guy hanging back. Like a hangerback walker, and you pay 4, and hangerback walker can swing in, and you draw a card. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Or you can flash in this dimensional infiltrator for 1 and a blue, and do that on your opponent's end step, and then get to swing in with this guy on the field. So that's pretty cool. But dimensional infiltrator for 1 and a blue has the void, flash, flying. And for 1 a colorless, target opponent exiles the top card of his or her library. If it's a land card, you may return Dimensional Infiltrator to its owner's hand. And it's a 2/1. So.
Eldrazi Mill.
Yes.
Well, that's a good mana thing. 2 mana to get a card, guys.
It's semi-amazing and for spells, so.
Yeah,
it chumps in a snap.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's snap cost for a flashing, but it's got
one. That's
cute.
Yeah. It's
cute.
However, that would suck if you go through and activate it, 4 times, and then it just dies.
But, I mean, at least if you get some activations, it's helpful. It's not bad.
Is it helpful?
It's not good, but it's not bad. what if you get a good card of theirs?
Yeah.
I don't know,
you might not get a good card of theirs.
Yeah,
you might actually draw them into the good card.
Yeah, you could shoot yourself in the foot, and if they were going to be flooded for 4 more turns, kind of accelerated that.
So,
yeah.
We got a Gravity Negator! Word, guys!
Gravity Gator.
I read literally all fucking day, and on my brain's bright at the end of it. So, Gravity Negator, 3 and a blue. Still drowsy drones, void flying. Whenever Gravity Negator still slow shit. Whenever Gravity Negator attacks, you may pay a colorless. If you do, another target creature gains flying until end of turn. So that's good. Nice cute little combat trick. He's playable.
Yeah. Then we got a
no, nobody. Both y'all start fucking short. Prophet of Distortion, man. Got the blue, still drowsy drones, void. Has an ability of 3 and a colorless to draw a card. That's cool. It's a little mana sink late game, and it's just a 1/2 for 1. So it's not, this is a cute card. It's playable and limited.
Yeah. I'd definitely mash that out there turn 1, turn 2. And then, revel in the extra cards that I'm drawing from it.
Yeah.
So.
Something. So,
Sorcerer's
Space. It's another just 1 blue. It's a sorcery with Devoid. Target creature can't be blocked this turn, draw a card. This is a cycling card. They are good sometimes, sorta, in some strategies somewhere.
This one's good.
So, what was that deck? Jeskai Ascendancy combo?
Yeah.
So, this is just another little enabler off your mana dork, right?
Yeah. And this one's the one that kills them.
Because you can't be blocked, so. that's cute. So you might see some Jeskai Ascendancy pop up because it lost some of its little trigger cards, carried it. But there's enough little mana producer cards out there now that might end up being able to become a thing again.
Actually, I really like this one. This is actually quite sweet.
A worthwhile cycling card.
Yeah.
A lot of the other ones were just the old Wisps back in the day. It became a color and untap it. All right, cool. Or, like, it became a color and it gained haste and you draw a card, so...
But it already had haste because it wasn't summoned this turn.
Cool, calm down. Doesn't matter. But the problem is, this is an improvement over a lot of those other cards that they've made. That'll be essentially a cycling card because you pay one or you pay two or whatever to draw a card. But that's pretty sweet, so you might see some little Jeskai Ascendancy deck again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And we have the Harvester. It's 3 and a blue. So it draws you your own flying and the void. Whenever you cast a colorless spell, target opponent exiles the top card of his or her library, and it's a 2/4. So, like, that's nice. Like, it goes with the ingest abilities and some of those abilities that play and manipulate with the exile zone.
Yeah, not a bad card at all. Next card, Void Shatter.
Hell yeah.
It's just a freaking counter spell.
Yep.
Yeah. It's counter, exile, the void.
One blue instant.
Yep. Okay, Ancient Crab. This guy is pretty mean looking.
He's a crab. They usually all do the same thing, right? He got big old asses.
Yeah, he's got a really big ass.
I really wish we could have seen a reprint of Hedron Crab.
Yeah.
Cards, I think everybody's kind of upset we haven't gotten reprints, but kind of like Wapsie said, though, they kind of addressed that, I mean, they have all this design space and all these cards that they want to make that they can't necessarily just reprint things at will and they fit in the format. Like, some of the cards they're reprinting will end up just warping a format. Like, that's all that people are going to play in that card.
I mean, I love Hedron Crab.
The thing is, there's no mill strategy. I mean, there's the one enchantment, the tutelage or whatever, but that's literally it. Like, would Hedron Crab be worthwhile for that?
Maybe if you pair it with the recursion that's coming in the next set. Because you know there's going to be some black recursion, so blue-black mill. That could be fun.
Bro.
I don't know. I can dream, can I?
Hey, you know, if we don't dream, then, you know, probably be dead. But, you know, whatever.
Okay, then.
Comparative analysis for Arena Blue, we have an instant with a new mechanic here. We have Surge to the blue. So you may cast a spell for its Surge cost if you or a teammate has cast another spell this turn. And target player draws 2 cards. So for 4 mana, you can draw 2 cards. And on Sunday of the pre-release, you can pay 3.
Because that's the only time your opponents can be playing stuff for you. Because nobody plays Two-Headed Giant other than this set during the pre-release.
Or at a GP side event. Or that's about it.
So it's a Fascinate. Or it's a Divination instant speed if there's already been another card cast this turn.
Yeah, that's a bad card, guys. You're probably not going to play this set pre-release.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
The instant speed draw 2 cards. If we didn't have Treasure Cruise, I could see this team play.
Surge, a kick in the can.
So that's how you'll feel getting this card last at every draft afterwards.
Everybody got a can, guys, please.
Now, this is a Surge card that I like. Containment Membrane. It is 2 and a blue. Enchantment Aura, Enchant Creature, and Enchant Creature doesn't untap Korean's controller's untap stuff. It's pretty awesome. But even better, Surge, 1 blue. Just blue. Straight blue. That's really cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, it's good. I guess.
Crush of Tentacles. We got a Mythic here. For 4 blue-blue, we have a sorcery that surges for 3 blue-blue. You can return all non-land permanents to their owner's hands. If Crush of Tentacles Surge cost was paid, put an 8/8 blue octopus creature token onto the battlefield.
This is sweet for, like, pre-release, limited, for sealed, like, even constructed Two-Headed Giant. Like, this is a sweet-ass card.
Yeah.
Like, got something, Surge, bounce it all, fuck all of it, like... This is a sweet ass card. I really like it. And am I right that you can play this card for the surge cost as long as your opponent has cast another spell? So like they have something put on the stack, then you can surge, and then their spell resolves. So
no.
Yeah.
It's a sorcery.
Sir, surge, you cast a spell for a surge cause, as long as they get... There's instants that have surge, guys. Don't listen to me. Shut the fuck up, man. So, but
surge makes it sound like it should have flash.
Right, it should definitely have flash. Like, just fucking... like, eat a dick. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got
flash out some tentacles.
Alright, man, just like fucking get it in there. Tentacle form. Good. So we have Cyclone Sire. The 4 and a blue with an elemental. So as flying, whenever it dies, you may put 3/1/1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental, and has haste to land. 3/4. So that's cool. It replaces itself with a guy. It's not incredible on the power or anything, but, I mean, it's kind of cute. Like, I like it. Limited's definitely going to be nice.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Yay, Gift of Tusk.
Siege Rhino's getting fucked up right here, guys. Look at him. Look at Siege Rhino.
I love it.
Siege Rhino is this is
an elephant. This is an elephant. Anyways, if you guys are familiar with Turn to Frog, this is not Turn to Frog. If you are familiar with Pognify, this is not Pognify. This is the both of them combined. Until end of turn, target creature loses all abilities and becomes a green elephant with base power and toughness 3/3. So instead of that ape, you get a 3/3 elephant. And then it goes back to normal.
Grip of the Royal. For 2 and a blue, we have an instant that surges for 1 and a blue. Tap target creature. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. And draw a card. I like this surge card.
Yeah, man.
So
it's cute. Like, it's the frost thingies that happen.
Frost breath?
Like, all the frost thingies. Like, if you see a card with frost, it's going to have that pretty much doesn't untap on the next attack. So.
Yeah.
And replaces itself, so that's really nice. Like,
cute.
So, either alignment, some Johnny's, Timmy's, I don't know what the fuck they are.
This is a Johnny deck.
Okay, either alignment, 3 and a blue. It's an enchantment with hexproof. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may reveal your hand. If you do, you win the game. If you own a card named Hedron Alignment in Exile in your hand, in your graveyard, and on the battlefield. This is so bad. But it has the ability of 1 and a blue to scry 1. So, like, that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
You can win the game.
You can win the game.
Okay.
I don't even know how to say this one. Jawar, Isle of
Jawar.
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 Jawar. Jawar. 5 and a blue. It has surge. 2 and a blue. Flying. It's a 3/3. It's only good if you're searching it.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like a really bad Windrake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than a Windrake because it's 3/3, but that's the back card.
It's a 5-cast 3/3 flyer.
Zeki,
you don't want to play it. You have to play it, but...
I have a feeling you've never played this next card, man.
Me?
Yeah,
probably not. Negate. We have 1 in a blue, instant speed, reprint. That's what it is. So.
What is it? Reprint. You know by now, guys. So,
yeah. So Negate has some pretty sweet art on it.
I don't even know. Like, I mean, it's cool looking art, but for Negate, really? Like, it's a shield, like, ooh, I'm not your stuff.
I like it because it's like blocking a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So we have Oath of Jace. People flip their shit, sort of. Because, I mean, it's pretty good. Like, this is not bad, but it's circumstantial. It's a very circumstantial card. So,
Super Friends.
Super Friends, guys. Another piece for your puzzle. It's 2 and a blue. It's a legendary enchantment. And when Oath of Jace enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards, then discard 2 cards. So, sort of brainstormy, like you get filter, which is nice. But at the beginning of your upkeep, just cry X, where X is the number of planeswalkers you control. Super Friends, strictly for that. It'll CEDH play, because people play Super Friends.
Yeah, I don't think this was very... I don't know. The card is not very good. 3 mana, draw 3, discard 2. You're not going to really want to play it for that, and the scry ability isn't even viable, even in Super Friends, because...
I think if you're playing in that kind of a strategy, though, you want select cards whenever you're playing in Super Friends.
Okay, but Jace doesn't trigger it.
Bro, when you win more, you win more. Like, you can...
And that's what Super Friends is. Super Friends is, how can I win the most?
Yeah, and this card, whenever you're winning more... You're gonna win way fucking more. Like, you have no options at that point.
The art is not very good.
No, I don't like the art on any of those. It's all like, hey, here's my hand, guys.
No. This one specifically, I don't like. The Jace art just doesn't match Jace to me.
Is Jace having an orgasm? Because his eyes are probably rolled back in the day. That is, yep.
Liliana's out of the frame here.
She right down low. All right.
Okay. Overwhelming denial. Dude, I just can't take it anymore. Okay. This is 2 and 2 blue. Surge is blue. Overwhelming denial can't be countered by spells or abilities. Counter target spell. Really sweet card. It's their way of trying to get counterspell into modern, I guess.
Yeah, I think it could be a modern thing, but I think this will just be a good control card in standard. Especially if blue ends up becoming a thing. Like, you don't want to be countered if you're in counter battle. So,
yeah.
Esper decks will run this. It'd be nice. Maybe this is like a 1 or 2 of, but it'll see some play.
Well, negate. I'm just going to counter the original spell. You can't counter it.
Roiling Waters. For 5 blue, we have Sorcery, uncommon. Return up to 2 target creatures your opponents control to their hands. To their owner's hands. Target player draws 2 cards.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Expensive and they get to draw, and you get to draw 2 cards? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not for me.
No. So, we have Sphinx as the final word. It's 5 and 2 blue. It's a Sphinx, because it's a Sphinx. They're going to cost a fuck ton. This Sphinx is a very beastly-looking lion. He's not very regal. He's like a mix between, like, a Viking and a lion. He came over from Warcraft, is what this guy's face looks like. And,
What's going on with this ponytail mohawk thing?
Bro, man, that's gangster. That's straight out of Warcraft. You don't play with those guys. There are going to be no orcs up in here.
This card has some quite the abilities there.
You can't be countered, because that's good if you're paying 7 for something. He's flying and expert, so not only can you not counter him, you can't do shit to him. And instant or sorcery spells you control can't be countered by spells or abilities. He's only a 5-5, but the rest of it more than makes up for it.
I'm just going to pay 7, and I didn't have anything but counter spells in my hand, so go ahead.
Yeah, like, you're fucked.
Yeah. Okay, next card here. Sweep Away. 2 and a blue. Return target creature to its owner's hand. If it's attacking, put it on top of the library instead. Cool. Okay.
Is that art? Is that like an eagle or something back in the background of it?
I think that's
a surfboard, actually.
Bro, no. Like, the middle of the swirly thing?
That's more waves.
Bro, no. But look at it. It's an eagle, bro. Like, it's got the eye and shit.
Illuminati?
Bro, they're fucking with us.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I see it now.
Thank you, guys. Stop trying to sink these fucking birds in on some blue cards, guys.
Hey, if you look closer, you'll see that the rock on the left is actually a bird about to take off.
That's a dude getting sweeped the fuck out, dude.
No,
and that's just the rock. The
rock that guy is jumping off of looks like a bird about to fly away.
Looks like a wolf.
Howling at the moon. Everywhere, bro.
That's a wolf howling at the moon. That is a wolf howling at the moon.
Actually, now that I look at it, it looks like a goblin.
So first off, I met her at the GP, Winona Nelson. Like, she was super cool to talk to, and like, she explained to people how she like did extra things to see how things look for her art, like. I had some favorable wins signed from her, and she was like, yeah, with these banners, I was out playing in the yard with our dogs, and, like, we were just having them chase these banners and these wind strips and everything. I'm like, no, that's extreme, but, like, it's cool to see that they see those kind of vantage points, and, like, they go that extra step just to see extra how things look.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she saw her dog howling at the moon and painted that mountain.
And then saw an eagle in the background. And then she was tripping on LSD, and then she saw a goblin come up. Right. Fucking LSD, man, that shit's crazy.
Okay.
Speaking of LSD, we got Umara and Tangler. For 1 blue, we have a 2-1 Merfolk Rogue Ally.
With another ally.
But it has prowess.
What?
I like
That's evergreen. That confuses the shit out of me. Like, we have this new ability people like, and now we're just going to make it evergreen out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah, and although it's actually still pretty good, fairly aggro for a blue deck.
Yeah. Cute combat tricks and shit, so, yeah. So, we got Unity of Purpose, because Jace needs to look like he's in front of more people all the fucking time. Cost 3 in a blue, it's an instant. It's got support, too, because support's in blue also, I guess.
Don't you know, man? We play Jace of the Gathering.
Bro, like, Jace of the Gathering. So, like, the color pie really doesn't matter, does it?
No.
So, untap each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it. So, Jay, stop fucking with counters, bro. That's not your shit.
So, this says untap two creatures, put +1/+1 counters on them.
Yeah, basically.
I'm okay with that.
Jay, calm the fuck down. Stay in the blue stuff, man. Draw cards.
You know what my thought is on the whole color pie being, like, totally screwed up on in this set? There's, like, not enough mana left on Zendikar for there to be, like, distinct, you know, like, areas that everyone just, like, grab all the mana before the Eldrazi eat it.
Yeah, like, and they're just doing crazy shit with it.
that works for me.
Like, I really think that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're on the black, and I don't think we're going to go back.
Silence, please.
Bearer of Silence. One in the black, Devoid. It's an Eldrazi creature. It's a 2/1. When you cast it, you may pay additionally a colorless and a generic. If you do, target opponent sacrifices a creature. This is essentially Gatekeeper Malakir, but not. And it also has flying, and it can't be. They can't block. And
this guy's really confusing. I think
I like Butchered more. Yeah.
This guy's just like, he doesn't development. They were like, oh, let's just reach into a bucket and get some abilities.
Yeah. That's a lot of text on one card.
And it doesn't really go together. Like,
they just were rolling d20s to see what's going to happen.
Like, shouldn't flying be above that ability, too? Like,
no.
Because on other shit, it is, dude. Like,
no, it's not, because that's not when you cast the ability.
Bro, they're fucking with how shit's set up on the wording. I'm going to find another dude that has this shit. No, I'm not, because I want to go to sleep, so.
Red Defiler. For a 6 and a black, we have an Eldrazi creature. It's Devoid, of course. And it's a 6/8. And for 3 and a colorless, exile a creature card from your graveyard. Target opponent loses life equal to that. To the exile card's power. Hilarious. With Worm Coil. Spire. The thing from
Mars. Worm Spine Worm.
Yeah.
Which actually shuffles back in, and I think I'd rather it shuffle back in.
I don't know, dude. Just like fucking dome them for a fuck gun? Come on.
Yeah. For
15?
Like, goes to the graveyard, unsack, fucking exile that shit. Begin.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So 15 is in modern, so like you do that for 15. And on top of that, and that's an ability, so you do that for 15, and then they probably, at some point,
now, where are you getting that 10 mana from?
It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Sorry, 11 mana. 11 mana.
You cheat him out, somehow.
Can we just call this guy Bill Cosby? Because he's the Dread Defiler. Can we? Anybody with me? You know what, guys? It's like an email, damn it. From the Amber. Okay, so we have Essence Depleter, so Bill Cosby's cousin. Cost 2 in a black, no drowsy drone. Void, 1 in the colorless, target opponent loses 1 life, and you gain a life. So you get to drain. That's cute. It's 2/3.
Yeah.
2/3. This is a playable card. It's an uncommon. Like, control deck, you like to drain. That's fun.
Yep. Flaming Tendrils.
Oh, get me there.
1 black. This is not Tendrils of Agony, or, yeah, this isn't the typical Tendrils. But, Devoid, sorcery. All creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. If they would die, exile them instead. Nice, we get a black sweeper back, which is not a black sweeper.
Yep. I agree. It's a good sweeper.
Yeah, it's a good sweeper. It's probably needed.
Like, this is the only... I'm playing this in the deck I'm about to be running.
that are announced. So we have Havoc Sower next, though?
I think
I like this card a little bit better, just because it's a creature. it's a 3 and a black Eldrazi drone, has the void, and for 1, the colorless, it gets +2/+1 until end of turn. Why is it getting this ability? I don't understand.
This is the swamp of the, this is the ability that Shades get.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So
like, it's pretty good. Like it's definitely limited and casual for sure.
Yeah.
So we got the Inverter of Truth. He is a demon. He is a 2-cost and
he's not a demon. Definitely not a demon.
He's a demon. He does all draws. He's a demon. So he's got the void and flying, and he's a 6/6. So he's a demon. He's 6/6 for 4 flying. So when Inverter of Truth enters the battlefield, exile all cards from your library face down. Shuffle all cards in your graveyard into your library. Guys, you better hurry up and win.
The 6/6 flyer. I better hope I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
Okay.
For 4, yes. It's got a lot of downside to it. And
yeah.
You've got to be able to actually utilize that downside really, really well. Now, Kozilek Shrieker is a 2 and a black, 3/2, to void, and its ability is colorless. Kozilek Shrieker gets +1/+0 until end of turn, gains. And it has menace. So this is straight up fire breathing in black.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's like it. Definitely pick it up in limited.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think this is another card I'd pick up in limited, Kozilek Translator. For 4 and a black, you get another Eldrazi drone. The void. Pay 1 life, add colorless to your mana pool. Activate this ability only once each turn.
Because that's only fair. You can't just, like, fucking... Like, it's channel otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That would have been too good.
Like, I'll play on turn 5. I'll go ahead and play Cosmic, I think.
Yeah.
Exactly what that would be.
That would be insane.
So, guys, I don't know about you guys, but it's already, like, 2 hours now. Y'all want to go through just some stuff that y'all want to pick out as, cool shit?
Cool shit?
Cool shit, yeah. We're only like halfway through on this, man.
Kozilek Return. I think we've already talked, everybody's talked about that card of shit.
I'm looking here.
Shiraza? Landcaller? She's pretty sweet.
So, like, let's go through the black shit first. Through the rest of the black stuff, right?
Okay.
Like, just for the shit you like. So there's a couple of cool...
There's a lot of fucking black shit.
I know, but that's what's awesome, though, man. Like, it's... Like,
but is it awesome?
Like, somewhat. Like, there's a bunch of garbage. Like, there's a Grasp of Darkness. It's 2 black. It costs black in an instant. And target creature gets -4/-4 until end of turn. Really powerful early removal.
Yeah. Now, when I originally had said, hey, let's do a set review, I was kind of hoping that we were just going to do, like, a, hey, this art's cool. This one looks like a penis.
Then it started. And then...
God damn it. Okay. You're an asshole. But anyway, Zachy, you brought up Corkscrew, man.
I did.
That card.
Yeah. I really love this card. Corkscrew, for 1 on the black, it's an instant. You put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, and then you may return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. That's pretty sweet.
Like, this is nice. Like, you're adding your bell, you're going to bring back your cool shit. Like, good.
Yeah, so, I really like that card.
Everybody flipped their shit over Remorseless Punishment. What do you guys think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Remorseless Punishment is 3, a black, and it's a sorcery. Target opponent loses 5 life unless that opponent discards 2 cards, or... sacrifice a creature or planeswalker. Repeat this process once.
So 5 mana, get at least 2 of these abilities.
Yeah. So they have to either lose 5 life and discard 2 cards.
Or lose 10 life. Or lose 5 life. And
this is going to be a bulk rare.
Yeah, this is going to be a bulk rare eventually. Like, it's a powerful effect.
I'm going to enjoy this in EDH.
Yeah.
It says 5 mana, 10 life in EDH.
Or, I like that it's a really good politic card in EDH because you can choose a different opponent.
Yeah, you choose whoever you want to fuck with.
Yeah.
If they don't draft creatures, right, does that target player sacrificing the creature, like, if they don't have dudes, they just be like,
if they don't,
I'll sack a dude, I'll sack a dude.
They can't sacrifice the creature or planeswalker they don't have.
But they could discard two cards
that they don't have, no.
Then that's lose 5 life.
Yes.
Bruh.
And then you can choose a different opponent for repeating this process.
Oh, what balls!
I'm not sure you can.
It says repeat this process once. Oh, you repeat what process, though?
The actual ability.
But the
ability
says the target opponent.
Yeah.
Yes, but it doesn't say you may choose a new opponent.
Judge Travis, go!
This, honestly, if it said that, it'd say yes, but as it is right now, I'd have to wait for the FAQ that should be coming out, or should already have came out.
Gotcha. I was curious about that, because it's not like, it'd be really cool if, because instead of saying you may do this again with a different opponent, they just wanted to shorten the wording to that. That might be an interesting way to do it.
I will check that out.
The guy got anything else in black?
I'm just going to say, in general, I'm excited to see what happens in Innistrad because of all the vampires we've been getting.
But the problem is, I wanted a modern playable vampire or two. Like, modern, like, it's almost there. Like, modern vampires is almost a thing, but it's just not there.
I think we have to wait till the next set.
Like, I hope Innistrad will bring us some stuff. I was excited for Zendikar, because that's where they originally came out. But hopefully, Innistrad will help.
Vampires first came in Zendikar?
Because it had landfall and shit, so.
I mean, there have been vampires throughout Magic history, but.
Yeah, the powerful ones where they became a pretty good creature size was that set, was the Zendikar set.
I don't know, man. From what I've heard, Sengir was like a deck. Back in the day.
Yeah, dude, that's when there were, like, Shiv and Dragon with a card.
Hey.
Do what you gotta do.
Like, Sarah Angel was dominant. Come on, guys.
I'm not really seeing any of the red cards.
Not gonna lie. Fall of the Titans.
Let me get there.
Oh, dude, I am a fan of a red card. I'm actually a fan of two red cards.
I think about it. There are two red cards I do like. Brute Strength is one of them, and Expedite is the other.
Did they reprint Brute Strength?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice drink. I'm happy with Brute Strength.
So,
but X-Fight is what I'm really excited for.
So, Fall of the Titan is XX and red. Surge for X and red. It does X damage to each of up to 2 target creatures or players. So that's pretty sweet, like, if you were able to get Surge off of the low cost.
So you expedite for 1, and then Fall of the Titans for X.
Like 3.
Like, yeah, this reminds me of Bonfire of the Damned.
Yeah, only, I don't know. Like, Bonfire was just so good on its own. But, like, you didn't need and words. Like,
I do like a lot of the goblins that we got from my Goblin EDH deck.
Bro, like Dark Dwellers?
Yes.
Dude, Goblin Dark Dwellers, guys, is like a $3 or $4 card. Pre-order the shit out of that. This card's gonna see play everywhere. All the pros are all about it. Like, this shit is good. It's a 4/4 with menace for 5. And whenever it enters the battlefield, you get to cast an instant or sorcery card with converted mana cost of 3 or less from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. And that card, yeah, exile. So, guys, yeah, that's so powerful. Whether or not you're pairing it up in a Jeskai deck where you're going to play Jeskai Charm and burn them out again, like, 8 damage for one card is pretty good. Like, play it in Mardu, play it in Mono Red. Like, shit, like, there's so many good cards that this is going to pair with.
Pair it up with the Pyromancer's Assault.
Yeah, like, literally anything. If it costs 3 or less, play it.
Yeah.
But then pairing that up with the new Goblin Bushwhacker with a Reckless Bushwhacker. It's a 2 in a red. It's a Goblin Warrior ally, but it has Surge of 1 in red. It's a haste and it's 2/1, but when it enters the battlefield, if you pay the Surge, the creatures you control get +1/+0 and haste until end of turn. So this might even see play in an ally deck, like all the low-cost allies.
Yeah.
It's probably
yeah.
Mono red aggro. Like, we're not lying about this. This card's
easy to play. Yeah, I can see this in, like, a budget aggro modern list with Burning Tree Emissary.
Yeah.
That'd be really funny.
Like,
Burning Tree Surge.
Is that about it?
And then.
Like, there's not really.
Mm-hmm.
shit in red, is there?
Yeah, there's not shit in red.
Burning tree, this guy swinging for six. I like it.
No. That's swinging for...
Oh, for eight.
Actually,
eight. You're right. Yeah.
No. That's, yeah, that's eight. Swinging for eight. That is sweet.
It turns you swing eight. I like it.
Yes. You're getting cute. I love you guys.
Have you played with Burning Tree Emissary?
Yes.
Do you realize how often you have Burning Trees in your hand?
I've had Burning Tree into something else.
What did I do with that, actually?
I did it because I was playing Nykthos Devotion. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Like a Titan on turn two?
That's actually my modern deck, yeah. And then I would play Crater Hoof or Emrakul.
Yeah.
But now I do Tooth and Nail, Entwine, Emrakul, and Xenagos. Swing for 30, trample.
Yeah.
Hey, you have that dick in your throat? I'm just going to shove it down into your stomach.
Yeah.
I make Toronto players cry because they're like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it just happened. Let's go to game two, guys.
So,
guys, I'm excited about Worms. Like, I don't mean that. I don't mean.
You should go see a vet, bro.
So, I get excited to see how phallic all of these Worms are going to look. And they never disappoint. Like, there is literally has to be, like, is it RK Post that does this? I need to see.
Well, what's the name of this new
one?
Canopy Gorger.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lake something or other.
Yeah. So,
this is not so phallic.
No, but I mean, it still looks like a dick. Like, come on. Like, granted, has arms and for a face, but, I mean, to each their own. Like, it looks like a dick.
This looks like something out of Alien.
Like, literally, though, a lot of these insects in the set, like, even the spiders, like, they look like shit from Alien.
Yeah.
Like,
so, green card that I'm actually kind of excited about is, Ruin in Their Wake.
Ruin in Their Wake?
Yeah. It's, one in the green to void. Search your library for a basic land card. Reveal it. Is that you may put that card onto the battlefield tapped if you control a land named Waste. Otherwise, you put in Grant.
Yeah.
Cool.
That card.
Yeah, so that's one of the green cards that I like.
Like, Nissa is sweet. I don't know how playable it's going to be, but this is a really powerful... Like, if you... They pushed the border on the three mana Planeswalkers. Like, the original Jace, that was just a fine card on its own. This card?
Yeah.
And, oh, man. Like, -2 to beef your team, like, that's pairing with a Johnny, but it's such a lower cost. Like,
oh, yeah.
You just start shoving science into play, wait till you build up your board presence, and then just start countering everybody. Like, the ultimate is, like, gain X life and X land and draw X cards, where X is for lands. Like, that's cute. That's not what this card's for. This card,
I actually see this in a ramp deck.
Like, yeah, or even in, like, this might even see modern play. Like, there is...
That's the kind of deck that I thought. Like, I had... First impression I give of these cards is I always think, okay, what kind of modern deck can I slot this into? And this could slot into elves really, really easily.
Yeah, like, oh man, it's good.
It just,
oh, speaking of green cards that are really good that are eternal playable, let's go right below that and go to Oath and Nissa. So I just switched over to playing Esper Stoneblade. Before this, I was playing Junk Dead Guy Elf. I might go back to playing Junk Dead Guy Elf with this card.
Yeah.
Because that's insane.
Yeah.
Green, look at the top three, reveal a creature, land, or planeswalker, put it into your hand, put the rest on the bottom.
Honestly?
Oh my god.
This should be a four of in any green deck in modern.
Like, it's a filter, like, it's netting you a card. It's replacing itself for sure because you're rendering. Like,
yeah. Like, you're probably going to have a creature. Or land, even if you're not playing Planeswalkers.
What people want to do in modern Tron. Like, all your Tron lands tap for whatever color you feel like.
But that's only for Planeswalkers.
Yeah, and you just run Planeswalkers.
Who cares about Planeswalkers? Literally, the reason that this card is good is because of the Enter the Battlefield ability.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, I play four of this and just replace it every time I play
anything. Exactly.
Like,
I look at the top three cards and I choose the one I want. That's why this is going to be played in every green deck in modern.
Like, if this is a green deck and I have something that isn't a land or a creature, they deserve to go all over the problem. Like, what are you doing?
Naturalize, what are you doing in here? Come on.
Yeah, so that, yeah, that people complained about Brainstorm being in blue. People are going to complain about Othanissa in green.
Yeah, they will. And I'll laugh.
So, what I'm thinking is, Zeki, have you looked at Zendikar Resurgent? This seems like a card you would want to play in your EDH stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah, I did see this card. This is stupid.
Like, isn't this just one of the reflections? Like, the green reflection from Shadowmoor?
It's reflection and it's another card. And it's,
bottom, there's more words.
Yeah. It's a very wordy card already.
It's like Omnath. No, not Omnath. It's like an Omnath card. This goes in Omnath.deck. Like, are you kidding me? Like, Jesus. Yeah, this card's really good. Really good. People hate green and EDH because of cards like this.
Like, I'm going to have mana, and I'm just going to have all the mana. You know, I'm going to even have more mana because I like mana.
And then I'm going to play elves, and then I'm going to spam out 7 elves with all this mana that I made, and then draw 7 cards, and play 7 more elves.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You can actually go through and have Elf Ball in Modern. Or not in Modern.
You don't play this.
You can play this as Elf Ball in EDH.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So, guys,
we got this multicolor stuff.
They're all uncommon, and the only one I hear about is Storm Chaser Mage.
Really? Because, I mean, that's cute, but I'm thinking that this black-white core guy is going to get some play.
I think he'll get played next standard.
Yeah, he's standard. I'm talking Modern or Legacy.
Y'all are going to be disappointed. Like, the 3-butt's cute, but Storm Chaser Mage isn't as good as y'all think. I'm just
Flying Haste Prowess.
Flying Haste Prowess, 1-3.
Delver, shut your mouth.
I will.
Okay, you play it in Delver, and then after you figure it out, just like the blue-red mainland. I mean, hey, I'm getting
a that card just sucked.
I had no intention of playing that card.
So, what do you guys
think? The Storm Chaser Mage? Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Like,
pre-selling for $3 at Uncommon.
What?
I swear to God, Starseed pre-sale, $3.
Man, don't they love hype? Like, I bet they love hype.
That's the thing, though.
Granted, it's for $30 right now, so. Just saying.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of happy with Captain Claws.
Captain Claws is cute.
Yeah. Equip creature gets +1/+0 whenever equipped creature attacks, but a 1/1 core ally creature token.
I think like a white red allied artifact deck could happen, especially with the card right above it, Weapons Trainer.
Yeah.
It could be hilarious.
Yeah,
I could see that.
So we got Heat Crawler. That's like a really bad mana rock creature thing. This is going to be one of those necessity things in, like, a sealed or any kind of limited format. Like,
that card. I'm looking at the card right next to it.
Yeah, it's not close. That's definitely a thing.
The big person with a knife? Yeah. That's definitely bad dick, if I would have to say. Like,
I'm a son of penis. No, I'm not a person.
Surprise! Oh, yeah, and I got this shank right here.
That's an STD.
Yeah, like, and it's in ooze. Like, it's in green ooze already. Like, come on, guys.
We
know what you're doing.
But Adrian Crawler, I'm okay with.
That's usually a limited card, but yeah. Much needed.
Here's Lantern I'm actually more happy with as the Mana Rock.
Whenever you said that, I thought you were talking about the store Sears. I'm like, why is Sears selling lanterns? It's like, what the fuck?
The home section.
So, speaking of that, you got Masterwork right next to it.
Yeah, would you go through and put that in your allies deck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, this is really good for allies. Because those core guys that give your dudes beef for even having artifacts and shit, like, those are allies.
Yep.
So, why not just, like, fuck it, allies, right?
No, here's the bigger question. Would you run Coat of Arms in that allies deck?
Coat of Arms? Fuck yeah, you run Coat of Arms if you're tribal.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And Eldrazi Monument because I'm a sick person.
Yeah, bro, because you're going to recur your guys anyway, you get tokens, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, guys, pop on these two and
Mirror Pool is okay. The card that I was happiest with is Seagate Wreckage.
That shit gets wrecked. Like, I love the flavor of these cards, man.
Yeah.
Did you see the Ruins of Oren Reef?
Bro, that is so awesome. Like, it still has...
Did you see the flavor of the green card that it's from these latest set of commander cards?
Like, just regular Oren Reef Vassal, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was in the original Zendikar, which is cool. But they have these, like, these areas that were in the original Zendikar that just get straight fucked up. Like, no joke, they just get fucked. So this is now the Ruins of Oren Reef. So Oren Reef the Basswood used to be a green land from Zendikar, came into play tapped. It tapped for a green, or had an ability where you could pay a green and tap it, where you put a 1-1 counter on all of the creatures that came into play that turn. Well, since Eldrazi came and fucked everything up, this is still coming into play tapped. It's going to tap through your colorless, and then you could just tap it without having to pay extra, and put a 1-1 counter on target colorless creatures in the battlefield this turn. So it's definitely
changed. The flavor on this is unreal, because it's like, the Eldrazi have totally decimated the land, but they still are taking whatever they can out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
That's fucking awesome. And then Seagate Wreckage, like, the Seagate was basically the blue area thing. Like, it had Seagate Oracle, where you get cards and all that. So this one, it comes with land tapped, and you just tap it for a colorless, or you can pay two and a colorless and tap it to draw a card. You activate that ability only if you have no cards in your hand. So that's going to be a nice little card for...
It's a help in the library.
Yeah, like, good. Like, it's not good, but it's good.
This art was actually the art that they used in the Uncharted Realms whenever, it was an article that was based around, what's the merfolk girl that I hate?
Kiora.
Yeah, I hate Kiora. She's a total fucking bitch. But, because she's, like, super selfish and not doing what everybody else is doing in the story. But, like, this was the art at the very end of the article that, like, I had talked about for my, like, flavor section of our cast. And I was just like, guys, you know how we were all flipping our shits over colorless mana? This is the confirmation we needed to prove that the colorless mana is real. Because they posted that art at the very end of it before they announced the colorless mana. And at that point, we just had the Kozilek and the Wastes art that got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the art that was like, okay... Colors in hands real.
Yeah.
So
that's
on the mainland.
I like the green black one.
So people are thinking that's gonna get mono play. I don't know, like, granted the Death Touch part's cool. I think that one would see more of a play in like a Life from the Loam deck as opposed to a Jund strategy or a like, cause you need your resources in those Jund decks. And the red green mainland is so much better, but the Death Touch, yes, that is relevant, but that's 4 land that you're taking up to give Death Touch and kill them.
I can see that going through and being used in like a junk deck.
The
Abzan decks, yeah.
But they're kind of lacking their man lands, I guess. I mean, they have the black white one. I mean, in Treetop Village, so.
They don't. Depending on what style of deck, I can see this being played over that stuff.
So the red one, like, that, it's a 2-1,
I like that one.
Double Strike is cool, but you need to play Crump Spells with this and still have land. Like, that's my feeling on it.
The idea behind this one is actually more for the control deck, I think. The Jeskai control decks. Or the Mardu control decks.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to do with red white aggro. So, and then wandering, wandering maw. That card has one application, and I don't know if you guys saw Braden's post about it, but there's an elemental creature that says whenever you activate a ability of an elemental, give this creature +3/+0 or something like that.
So, like, you just infinitely activate the ability on it, and then you have an infinite dude that already costs 4 mana to play, so you're not getting this off until turn 5.
It was cute.
Like, it was cute. And you know, there's so many cool, cute combos, but, like, in Modern, it's so fast.
Yeah.
And yes, there's times where it does slow down a little bit, but you're
just going to get steamrolled, and this land is not worth it, guys.
No, it's not.
Like, not, just no.
No.
So we got Waste, a new colorless land. It's a basic.
I really, really like that art. Like, I like both art.
I like the little, like, computer-y, Tron-y art, like, from the movie Tron. Like, everything's all geometric and shit, and bright and vivid.
Yeah, he Kozilek feels very computer calculated, and but then you've got the Ulamog art, which has some pretty freaky bone waste, essentially. So, but yeah.
Oh, that I remember. Yeah, that art, those wastes look like bismuth.
That's what it is.
Yeah, dude, for real.
I'm a geologist by trade, so I was like, what? What crystal is that? That looks so much like it's bismuth.
So how's the geology market in New Jersey?
Pretty great if you work for environmental companies. They don't call it the Dirty Jersey for nothing. I think it's like the statistic is in a square mile of wherever you are in New Jersey, there's like a like super fun site within like 1 mile of wherever you are.
Oh, what?
A Superfund site, so they're like these sites in the United States that are like super contaminated historically.
Oh.
And they're like they're so contaminated and they've been contaminated for so long, like just because of like industry, like back in like the 1800s, early 1900s, where no one gave a shit. The people that did the polluting, like, you can't really hold them responsible as much anymore. So basically the federal government has, like, taken them over as sites, and they have to get fixed that way.
Okay.
That's crazy, man. Fucking hippies. Let's fuck up one, guys. Whatever. Yeah, I couldn't really care
less. Oh, Matt. Yeah. I think you've had a little bit too much tonight.
Dude, no.
A little bit too much magic.
Like, I'm just too fucking tired, and after about, I guess, over 2 hours, I was like, fuck, guys. I totally thought you were going to do, like, legit full set review, and
I was too, and I was like, oh my god, we're only on, like, white. This is...
Like, this is really going to be an 8-hour podcast. You're not going to sleep tonight.
Matt, did you not read the message I gave you, though? I was like, hey, I want to do a full set review. You're like, yeah, real full set review? I'm like, yeah, the fun kind. And then you're like, yeah.
Beer and, like, a couple shots, so I figured that'd be fun enough. But whatever. You know I don't read.
I've had wine and a hookah, so I had a fun night.
You know my wife drinks wine, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody I know that drinks wine is a female, man. I'm not hating on any guys that drink wine, but I'm going to give you some shit. That's all I do.
I mean, I didn't feel like busting out for whiskey tonight. I have to wake up at 5.
Nope, that
don't mean shit. That's true.
Yeah. All right, Zachy, man. So hit us up with your info, man.
Well, you can find me pretty much every single week on Will of the Council podcast. We're on MTGCast, and we also have our own Libsyn account, so if you want to follow us straight away on whatever podcast app or computer program you're using, you can just look up Will of the Council, and you can find us. Also, occasionally write for cardconfidants.com. I'm trying to be more active. That's one of my resolutions for this year. You can find me on Twitter, at ZekTown. And if you really want to find me on Facebook, that's kind of creepy, because... probably don't know you. But we can still be friends. You can find me through the Will of the Council Facebook page. So hit me up. We'll chat. We'll have fun. We'll drink. Probably not wine, but it'll be cool.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, man. So, Travis, where are your shit out, man?
Travis at Pat on Twitter. Find me on the Ethercast Facebook page. Also, great news. If you guys are listening to this, it means that we've actually successfully recorded a podcast. You guys probably haven't heard much from us because of every freaking technical failure we could possibly have.
Literally, like, three podcasts, and they just fucking disappear. Whatever.
So, we recorded one podcast with a guest that
podcast didn't record. Apparently our software was out of date, and it said, screw you. Then we went and we recorded the next podcast, and the sound quality was horrible, so we said, screw that. And then we went and we recorded another podcast, and...
like 2 hours, and then it stopped at, like 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like a real bad plus product, so we wouldn't want to put you guys up to that, but now we have, like, 18 recordings going on right now, so one of them is bound to work.
So, if you guys have any questions, any comments about the cast, feel free to either hit us up on Facebook, go through, send us an email, ethercastpodcast@gmail.com. We're happy to talk to you guys about magic, life, whatever. And anyways, Matt, wrap it up here.
Yeah, bro. I didn't wrap it up. That's why I have 3 kids. I doing life. So, if you want to get a hold of me, you can get me on Twitter, @OopsItRolled. I'm on there more now, sort of. Also, the... like Garrett said, the Aethercast. I almost said Cast from Exile. I do that podcast sometimes, too. But also, check me out. I'm about to do an article series on cardconfidants.com, just like good old Zeki does. I think his podcast is over there, too.
Yep.
So, good old buddies. Well,
yeah.
Jack, I never talked to Jack, but Trevor and Renee, hi guys. But, get a hold of us and let us know what you think, what you enjoy, what you want to hear, man. We are up for some ideas. If you got some sweet brews that we usually go over, the one thing we didn't do this week, thank God, because I'm ready to go to bed. But, if you got some sweet brews, let us know, man. We enjoy hearing about what you guys have out there. So get a hold of us, email, Facebook, Twitter, we don't care. Reach out. We're here.
Oh, and hopefully we will actually have some kind of new brew for next episode involving cards from Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yeah. I got this card here, guys. Spoiler alert. Pyromancer's Goggles. Yeah. It's a thing, guys. Go ahead, Travis. It's a thing. I'm making it happen.
Okay. Now, is this for an article or is this for podcast? Are you going to have a list for me?
This is also going to be my article. So basically what I'm going to do, just touch base on it real quick before we head out, it is going to be an article that's sort of a budget-based strategy because a lot of the complaint about keeping up with standards is the money you have to put into it. I personally don't have a lot of money to just blow on cards. I know most everybody out there doesn't. So what I did whenever cons came out, I bought some Siege Rhinos and some stuff to go with Siege Rhinos and built a deck that I played for about a year. It was a pretty competitive deck that I could get prizes at my F&Ms and everything and do pretty well. So I decided this time I'm going to go ahead and try and keep track of it, keep a log, and show y'all how my thought process works with buying cards right before rotation. So like when the set has reached its peak and cycle and everything, to where you're going to be able to get some good deals on cards. Being able to buy, I spent about $50 or so on the cards I don't have to where I'm going to build a deck that I've already playtested before that is a pretty competitive deck. It's not going to always do the best, but it's going to be a deck I'm going to be able to play roughly for about a year with minor changes and tweaks. And that's going to be the basis of the article, is going to basically try and go 6 months to a year worth of articles coming out as far as strategies, changes that are being made, why and how, and things like that. So keep an eye out for that. I will post to our Facebook page whenever I have that out and ready, and I hope y'all enjoy that.
Sounds awesome. Good.
Yeah, so, guys, thanks for coming on. Zengi, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I wish we could have really slugged through all of them, but I didn't. Another 2.5 hours.
I think maybe we can go through on Shadows of Innistrad and do a 5-part series.
Nah, fuck that, bro. Because when we come out, there's like, the full set release, there's like an out, there's like a week, and I ain't about that editing every night shit.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do all the phallic looking cards.
The phallic.
That might be hard. There's a bit out of spheres in the next set I'm feeling, so.
What?
Okay.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on top of all of that, there was a worm theme in Innistrad, wasn't there? Or was that a spider theme?
I think a little bit of both. Wasn't a graveyard worm in one of those?
Yeah, there was a graveyard worm there. I don't know. We'll definitely have to do a phallic set review.
I can dig it.
All right, guys. Later. So, take it easy.
Okay.
Take it easy.